First Peter chapter 3, verse 7, that's on page 1015 in the Pew Bibles. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this passage, we do pray that you will open our minds and our hearts to what you have to tell us. We pray that both husbands and wives will learn from this section of 1 Peter. We thank you for the wisdom that's here. We pray that you will help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Husbands, three words. Understanding, honor, grace. Wives, when you get home, ask your husbands what the three words were. Understanding, honor, grace. Let me know if they remembered those three things. I'd like to look at those three words. First of all, understanding. Just for fun, I did an internet search of how to understand women. And if you want a little laugh, you might try an internet search for how to understand women. Lots of things, lots of answers. The most common answer, impossible. But there were a few people that had some thoughts. One looked at the hunter-gatherer type and said, well, women really want that person who will control them, who will protect them. That's an advantage of being completely under someone's control. This was a guy who was writing this and probably pushed a little bit too far on that hunter-gatherer analogy. So others were talking about communication, looking at their emotional states. Some said, do women understand women? And that's a question for the women. I don't know. But Peter tells husbands to live with their wives in an understanding way. Now, first of all, we're given that charge. That's something that is supposed to be done. So it means that it's not impossible. It may be impossible in the world's eyes, but it's not impossible with God. We can look at the woman and understand in some way. So we live with our wives in an understanding way. Now, I'm doing this, of course, as an outsider looking in, but you men out there, make sure that you are doing what Peter says, whether it's what I say or not. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Lots of different ways that we can experience this, that we can then apply this in our lives. I was talking to a woman a while ago, and she was complaining about her husband. And what really got her that day was that she had done her work. And then she had gone and she'd done the laundry and the dishes and watched the children. And then the lawn needed mowing. So she went out and started to mow the lawn. And when she came in and her husband says, would you like any help? She said, no, I can do everything myself. And as the husband was sitting there with his cold beverage on the couch, he said, oh, that's great. I don't have to do anything. Lost the sarcasm completely. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Wives, help out. Be truthful. If the husband asks, may I help you, don't think, well, you lazy bum. If you just get off the couch and do something now and then I might have a little easier time and our marriage might be a little better. But then say, no, that's okay, I can take it all myself. If you're thinking that, say, the correct response would be, yes, honey, I'd love if you helped me out. Okay? You also don't say the lazy bum part and things like that. But make sure that you're being honest with your husband. Not holding back because you think, well, maybe he should understand me. Realize that men aren't that smart sometimes and they need your help in that understanding. So as husbands seek to live with their lives in an understanding way, wives, make sure that you're telling your husbands your needs. The things that will help you. The things that will make you to be a better person and a better wife. Live with your wives, husbands, in an understanding way. We need to understand that we're different. We'll talk about that a little more later. But husbands, think of your wife as more important than yourself. Seek to look at things through her eyes, not just from your own. Have her perspective on what's going out. Empathize with the difficulties that she has as the wife and possibly a mother, as a woman living in society. Understand. So that's the first word. The second word, honor. This is time. To honor, to value, to hold as precious. This is how husbands should look at their wives. Honor, Peter says, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, a lot of people get caught up on that weaker vessel part. Are wives or women somewhat less than men? Are we both the same? An article I read this past week from Sweden. Sweden's trying to make everything gender neutral. And this article was about Toys R Us. And it said, as the Herald Sun of Australia reports, the Swedish affiliate of Toys R Us has had to go gender neutral in advertising after being sanctioned by the National Advertising Authority for the crime of portraying boys with toy machine guns and girls with dolls. From the report, the country's advertising watchdog reprimanded the company for gender discrimination 3 years ago following complaints over outdated gender roles in the 2008 Christmas catalog, which featured boys dressed as superheroes and girls playing princess. A comparison between this year's Toys R Us catalogs in Sweden and Denmark, where Top Toy is also a franchisee, showed that a boy wielding a toy machine gun in the Danish edition had been replaced by a girl in Sweden. Elsewhere, a girl was photoshopped out of a Hello Kitty page. A girl holding a baby doll was replaced by a boy. And in sister chain BR's catalog, a young girl's pink t-shirt was turned light blue. Pop Toy, Sweden's largest toy retailer by number of stores, said it had been receiving training and guidance from the Swedish Advertising Watchdog, which is a self-regulatory agency. I'm not sure of all the thinking behind this watchdog thing, but they're trying to make it so that men and women are the same. Are we the same? Now, I don't know about pink. If you noticed, I have a pink shirt on today. I never had any pink clothes until my girls complained. It was soccer or softball. Anyway, one of my teams complained that when they had pink day, that I needed to wear pink too, so I got a pink shirt. And I thought it was the last pink shirt I'd ever have to buy until my house burned down, and then I had to go out and buy another pink shirt because they still had more pink days to attend. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with a guy wearing pink. But I would never choose pink. But that's okay. Nothing wrong with wearing pink. But the fact is, we have differences. Now, Pink doesn't have to be a girl color. Blue doesn't have to be a boy color. I actually like green. But the fact is, we're different. And to change the color of a picture in a catalog just because it doesn't seem to be gender neutral just doesn't make sense to me. Well, one thing I did find about pink when I was dealing with behaviorally disordered children in a classroom setting, they said the best color to paint the walls in such a classroom was pink. For some reason, it calmed the boys down. And there's something about that, the fact that my whole class was filled with boys, not girls. There are differences. There are differences between men and women. The male voice, overall, is about an octave lower than the female voice. Men are about 15% heavier. Some of us are more like 100% heavier, but men are 6 inches taller than women. In prisons, over 92% of the population are men. Approximately 99% of the violent offenders are men. There are differences between men and women. And it doesn't mean men are better if you look at that prison population survey. You might call it the testosterone effect. But the fact is that God made man in His image. Male and female created He them. We're all created in God's image. It's not to say that a man or a woman holds any higher place in God's sight. We're all created in God's image. But we're created differently. Male and female created He them. In Peter's time, there was a difficulty with women being put down in both society and physically. I mean, men are just bigger and stronger in general than women. Individual males and individual women will, one will be stronger than another. One of my friends in college, her sister, when she came to visit, we always joked around, did arm wrestling and things with other guys and stuff, and usually the girls didn't come in. No one would dare to arm wrestle with this girl, this sister of one of my friends. She was tough. She was also very beautiful, but she was tough. And so when you're talking about strength, it doesn't mean that an individual male is stronger than an individual female, but overall, men have bigger bodies and they're stronger physically. And I think that's what Peter is referring to. He may have also been referring to the fact that men had more power in the society than women did. I'm not sure that that's true anymore. I think women, you'll find, doing just about anything that a man will do in our society. That's good. That's fine. But the fact is, we are made differently. Honor. Show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, as the one who is weaker physically. I think it's noteworthy that he puts vessel in there. Her body is weaker than the man's. Show honor. It's not because she's a weaker vessel, but because she's made in the image of God. Because God has gifted that man with that woman. Because there's a blessing that's there as he shows honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Women are more vulnerable, but men need to show honor. So we have understanding, honor, and then the third word, grace. Note what Peter says. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. The grace of life. Often when we hear the grace of life, we will put on the eternal life. We're thinking way off into the future, that God is bringing us that life in the future. That's our hope. That's there. But I think Peter uses just the grace of life for a reason. Some copyists actually put in eternal life there, but it was just a copyist adding it in. Most of the manuscripts have just grace of life. It's grace of life, not just for the future, but it's our life here and now. A life that we live out in God's grace. A life that we live in accord with what He desires because He has bestowed such grace upon us. Men and women are co-heirs. It's all one word, this heirs with you. It's one word that brings that meaning out. Heirs with you, co-heirs of the grace of life. Men and women, husbands and wives, you're co-heirs of the grace of life. Oh, what joy that should bring. That we live under a God who has redeemed us, who has taken us from death in sin and given us life through His grace. We are co-heirs together with the grace of life, now and for all eternity. Remember that men and women are both made in God's image. We share equal footing spiritually. We share equal footing in honor that is due because God has made us. And we share a living hope that is with us now and will bring us into all eternity. Open your eyes to see the grace of life, and that it's a joint mission. Note what Peter ends up with, though, here. So that your prayers may not be hindered. Well, a couple things need to be said there. First of all, men, you're praying. So that your prayers may not be hindered. You're praying. Not only that, but this is plural. Now, he could be talking about all the different husbands, but he may also be talking about husbands and wives. Your prayers together may not be hindered. Your prayers may not be hindered. In one sense, the husband and wife together make a church. Where two or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. If you aren't together, if you aren't showing honor, if you aren't understanding your wife, if you aren't seeing her as a co-heir in the grace of life, then you're going to hinder your prayers. You won't be praying together. You won't see the wonder of God's grace worked out in your lives because you're not doing what God has asked. Make sure that you regard your relationship as precious. Husbands, make sure that you regard your wife as honorable, as valuable, as precious. Live with her in an understanding way. Show honor to her. And remember that you are co-heirs in the grace of life. Pray together. Work together. See the mission that He has for you together. And that should bring you joy. My internet search on understanding women, I think, gave me many wrong answers. Husbands, if you want to seek to understand your wife, remember those three words. First of all, understand. See things from her perspective. Look through her eyes. Look at her as more important than yourself and see how she's thinking. Understand. And then show honor. Show honor to her as someone that God has given to you as precious. Treat her as that precious gift. And remember that you are co-heirs in the grace of life, that all that God has given us, He's poured down on us so that we can live fully. for Him and with Him. And He's given you the wonder of having someone to live that out with. I'd also like to add Paul's admonition. What does Paul tell us to do? Love. Husbands, love your wives. So, I'm making my three words four. Understand, honor, grace, and love. Husbands, if you're treating your wife with those four words, then your marriage will be sweet. Your life will be lived out in God's grace, and you will have your purpose in this life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You have given us Your grace, that You have given us a life to be lived for You. Help us always to follow Your ways, not to be caught up in the things of this world, not to be caught up in the things that would take us away from doing what You have commanded us, but to look to You, to Your wisdom, to help us to do as we ought. Lord, enable the husbands here to live with their wives in an understanding way, to show honor, and to share with their wives in the grace of life. Help us all to see those things that are true, that are holy, that are righteous, that will truly bring us joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me now to Psalm 128, Selection A. The psalm talks about families. Talks about the blessing of living as a family under God's grace. Now Psalm 20 that we'd already sung talked about our prayers being heard. Husbands, make sure you are loving your wife. Make sure you're treating her in an understanding way with honor, showing the grace that God has given. And then your prayers may be heard. The other way that our prayers are heard is to make sure that we're forgiving each other. Make sure that we're forgiving those who have wronged us. But as we live our lives, we look to the admonition that we see in God's Word, and we look to the blessing that we see in God's Word. Here, those who are blessed, who fear the Lord, these are families that are living their lives out for God's honor and glory. Psalm 128, Selection A, please stand to sing.
Thank you.
we will now worship God with our tithes and offerings. We'll stand to pray and then sing Psalm 119, selection E. Remain standing for the pastoral blessing and then the doxology, Psalm 89H. Now, Psalm 119E talks about following after God's commands. We have some commands there in 1 Peter. You men, we talked about the women last week. We have some commands there in 1 Peter. Make sure that you are following them. Along with the psalmist, pray that God will avert your eyes from worthless things and confirm His word to you. Let's stand for the pastoral prayer, then 119E, remain standing for the pastoral blessing, and then the doxology. O Lord, as we come before you today, we give you praise as the mighty God over heaven and earth, who has seen fit to reach down, to draw us to yourself, to give us your salvation. We thank you for what you have done through Jesus Christ in shedding his blood for us on the cross for our sins. What you have done in raising him so that we have a living hope. Lord, we thank you that you've given us lives to live for you. We pray that husbands and wives will be able to live together to your honor and glory in accord with your commands. Lord, we thank you that your word isn't just our salvation, but it gives us instruction in life. It gives us instruction so that we can be sanctified, so that your spirit can work through that word and change us so that we become more like you, so we are enabled to do what you have asked us to do, to live our lives to your honor and glory. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who cares for us, brings us to yourself, works in us so that we become more like you, and helps us through each of our struggles as we go through the day. Lord, we pray for those who are sick. We pray that you will raise them up so that they can continue to glorify you. We pray for our country, for the many ways that it seems to be going along the wrong path. Lord, we pray that you will give us a witness to your truth. We pray for those in the world that are seeking all sorts of different things, following after other gods. We thank you for those who are willing to go out into this world and proclaim the message of your gospel. We pray that you will encourage them. Lord, we thank you for those who are working to protect us, for our land, our leaders, and our military, who are there to help us to continue to live as those who are under your charge. Lord, we just pray that you will enable us to do as you have given us to do, to live the lives for which you have purposed us, to bring honor and glory to your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.